this is Cricket.
This is Daisy.
And we're here with the boys from Fox Hunt, and they are...
Matt Metz.
Ben Townsend.
John Miller.
Matt Klein.
And we're all a little rough from last night. Boys just played here in Nashville. Gonna play a few songs for us and see if any of us can get smart enough today to have an actual conversation.
All right.
Good luck.
You guys want to start off with a song?
Yeah, here's one called The Sourwood Mountain. Or something like this. Up in Hampshire County, West Virginia, and there was a bunch of guys up there that played and still play, and they learned from a fella named Israel Welch that kind of passed on right as I was getting into this music, and so I learned a lot of music from them, and they'd have a jam every Saturday night, and I've played banjo for, you know, years and years. I guess we all kind of were into alt country. Three of us were in a metal band for a while, and just while we'd play shows, a lot of times in the van, I'd be listening to old-time music or just some of the guys that I was learning banjo from or something like that. And after the shows, I'd come out and oftentimes kind of get fed up and play banjo towards the end, you know, there.
Metal banjo?
No, I never got into that kind of stuff. But then I guess we just kind of all found out through, you know, various different bands that we all like to sit in a room and play old country or alt country or old time or bluegrass, whatever you want to call any of it. And we just sit in my house in Romney, and or shoot in Martinsburg there. Just play. What is it? Every Saturday night we played for a couple of years there. Just kind of have a big party, and we were kind of what was left at the end of every night.
Wasn't much of us left.
I think I did promise someone that they could trash talk the Magpies if they wanted.
Yes, Matt unfortunately lost his shirt to the band last night.
I literally did. Yeah,
it was a nice shirt too, man.
Yeah, man. If you ever see the Magpies play and Doug's playing in a Hillbilly Gypsies T-shirt. You know where it came from. It's got a paint stain on the side of it that is a dead giveaway. That was
came from
what set it apart.
Game of dice.
So. Oh, man, these guys play dirty, too.
Those are some rambling gamblers.
You're just lucky that they gave you your wallet back.
Yeah. Well, shoot, as if I didn't have enough addictions before last night. I got one more now, so.
But we gave them cribbage, so.
Yeah.
It's pretty even. Keep even Steven.
Even spot.
Nope, you guys want to play another song?
This is a brand new one. Songs. That's in most of our live sets. That's that makes up the bulk of what we play. And yeah. Wow.
Talk a little bit about what you write about.
Oh, kind of thing. I write about real depressing stuff. it's a problem that I have, but I'm working on it. I do have a couple of happier songs these days. You know, the usual girls and drinking and...
Well, that's the whole point of music, though, right, is...
Girls and drinking?
Well, yes,
that's
it.
All there is to it. We got it down.
I was going to say shared experiences, and so,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
You can relate what you have, and people like your music because they can...
And this next song that we're going to do is about a girl and drinking.
Surprise, surprise.
Yeah. Usually I kind of write the more lighthearted, sometimes attempting to be funny songs. And this was me kind of taking a stab at writing a similar style to John.
Yeah, that's why I like it so much.
Yeah. And then we also kind of threw an old time tune in there. And the melody line that Matt and Ben are playing on this is from a tune called Greenbrier River.
Yes, yes.
Adapted, probably.
Adapted, yeah, not the exact tune. I had played bass in the Red Oranges, our metal band that we were in. Not upright at all. And so, I mean, our first record we did an electric bass. And after maybe six shows with that, we got an upright bass. It was really early on, it seems like. And then within the first week of having the upright bass, we were playing it live, and we haven't gone back since.
Right.
But yeah, so pretty much everyone's picked up a new instrument since the beginning of the band. And it's somewhat evident on the first record, I think, that we were just beginning to familiarize ourselves with the instruments and getting comfortable with those.
And I got lucky enough, kind of right at the beginning, after I graduated from college, I was trying to figure out what I was going to do.
As you do.
As you do, yeah. And I knew I wanted to play music, and I've always loved to play old-time music. And I oftentimes play banjo with a lot of other people. And Matt and I, well, we all now have backed some fiddlers, and we enjoy kind of backing people for dances or for their own projects and stuff like that. Our friend Chelsea we backed and stuff like that. But I wanted to play music, and this band happened, and they didn't need a banjo player. You know, at that time Matt was playing a lot of banjo, so we needed a fiddle player. And I got lucky enough through the state of West Virginia to get a little bit of money to study with a guy out in the western part of the state. And so I was bringing a lot of tunes in right away, kind of like right after we really started rolling, I was bringing a whole lot of teams in all the time, and then we bussed a lot out in the streets, and that gave us a time to practice, and for 2 years just really familiarize ourselves with the stuff that I got pretty much exclusively from this fella Dave Bing, that I've learned a lot of what I've learned from.
Yeah, I'd say for at least John and I, and Matt too, probably a good bit, a lot of the old-time learning that we did was at the metro stops in D.C., because mm-hmm. Ben would just like kind of kick into the tune, and we would just figure it out.
Here it comes.
that was it, and I mean, it. You know, having that pressure on us, I think it was a good thing.
Yeah,
it was a really good, you know, motivational thing, because you don't want to look like a fool. But so it's just, you know, you got to
do it.
Yeah, and you know, when...
And I've kind of been lucky enough to get that from other people. Like, I played with my friend Chance McCoy. I grew up kind of playing around in college and stuff, and it was the same thing. He'd be real excited about teams. And the way I learned to play banjo as a West Virginia banjo player is you just play as many of the notes as you can possibly play in the melody without sacrificing the rhythm. And so that was the most important thing I've ever learned from somebody teaching me banjo. And then I got lucky enough to be with him all the time, and I'd just sit there and, you know, play chords until I gradually had the melody in my mind, and then I could make the banjo open up that melody. So same thing, you know, having somebody to push you like that really makes a big difference.
Rotated the room and instruments all the way around again. Everybody
yeah.
Shifts chairs.
So is this another drinking song or a girl song?
Boy, this is a tough one to classify. It's a girl song, I'd say, but it was definitely influenced heavily by heavy drinking. We came back from Seattle, and I was doing really well and had just broken up with this girl that I dated for a long time, and kind of had fun on the road, and came home and fell in with this other girl, and then within, you know, 6 days completely blew it and just kind of ended up with this. You said goodbye, I wasn't worth another try.
To each memory of you I dream. pain, turning my tears into a drinking game.
Hey, so if you guys ever all settle down and happily get married, will you still be able to write songs?
No. No, I don't know.
Settle down and get married. Kidding?
Well, they'll just all be drinking songs.
Yeah, it'll just be about the wife leaving.
They'll be all cheating songs.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's the ticket.
Jeez. Cheating songs?
So do you guys listen to when you're driving around?
Lately, audiobooks.
Yeah,
that's true.
Ben and I have kind of been on an audiobook.
What have you been listening to?
What books?
I'm listening to The Trial right now.
Who's that?
Kafka.
Yeah.
I'm also listening to a Dwight D. Eisenhower biography. I just finished the Winston Churchill biography and
The Gambler.
The Gambler by
Willie Nelson. Just kidding.
Kenny Rogers.
I'm smack dab in the middle of The Name of the Rose by Umberto Eco, and I've found that it's great for those well-needed naps in the van. I find myself rewinding often.
You have trouble sleeping in the van until you put on an audiobook.
Yeah.
And then you just
yeah, otherwise, what do we listen to?
We've been listening to a good bit of Cypress Hill and Dr. Dre.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, the Georgia Satellites are always a very
heavy rotation.
Yeah, yeah. Whenever you're in doubt, it's like Georgia Satellites can really kick off a drive pretty good.
That new Earth record is one that for a while came up a whole lot. We were, that's the one I like, and I was glad that you guys kind of got into.
Yeah.
The new Sun record didn't hit quite as hard.
No.
I still like it.
But other than that, I mean, seriously, we listen to a ton of music. Like,
yeah.
I mean, like a lot of old country, George Jones, and old bluegrass, or old time. I mean, I wish there was an easy way to say what we listen to, but it's so vast all the time.
And people always say that. But.
Yeah, I know.
And then people
always have a clip.
But
we do listen to some hardcore and
and
punk and
all the Melvins.
Yeah.
I think that's what's really cool about old time music that I've found is a lot of the people that have gotten far enough to be into it know a lot about a lot of different things. And I've met, you know, a few friends over the years that have become really close friends and turned me on. My friend Bruce and this guy Andy Fitzgibbons is a real good friend of all of ours down in Elkins, West Virginia. And there's just and Doug Van Gundy's like that. And there's just people that just have this kind of quest for knowledge of all sorts of things. You know, music is definitely one of those things, but I really respect that about a lot of the people that I've met that play old-time music, and especially my band. You know, I feel like we're pretty wide open. You know, I've even found out about some early 90s pop music that I never would have thought to give a listen from my experience in that band.
Star?
No, not quite that. Well, I don't want to talk about taste. Not that hip.
This is dangerous territory.
Yeah.
So do y'all, like, listen to the bands that you play with? Tour with occasionally? I mean, do you have,
like... Yeah, usually on our way out of the gig, like, because we'll swap CDs, and like, the Magpies, we listen to them the morning after the gig in Louisville. When we were searching for John, we didn't know where he was. So we were just sitting in the van for a while after we got some McDonald's breakfast, and we listened to their CD, that Eastern Standard Time.
I find that, for myself, the more often we play with bands away from our style, the more likely I am to listen to their music. Because I feel like there's a lot of bands that are kind of playing close to what I'm interested in that doesn't quite hit the vein. And so I'd rather listen to, like, you know, the guys I've learned from or the guys I'm trying to learn from than, you know, kids. And some kids definitely break that mold. There's a band, what's Andrew's band? I've been listening to that CD like crazy. There's a couple, you know, gangs that we know.
Andrew, if you're listening, we'll look it up for you.
Yeah.
Put the CDs in like a brown cardboard thing.
Yeah, it's a brown cardboard thing. It's really good. It's called, not Starch and Iron, Light and Hitch. And it's kind of like this old-time band that recorded a CD last year and we traded. And, man, that one's been... And it's cool because it's the same style, but it's like a North Carolina thing. And so it's not the West Virginia music, so I can listen to it kind of more objectively, or just more open.
You guys have a pretty big community where you live of other musicians that you play with or anything?
Well, I wouldn't say it's big, but it's really quality. Like, the people that we play with are some of our favorites to play with, yeah. you know, that we ever yeah. have played with. And luckily, just a couple weeks ago, we were playing in Shepherdstown, and we just had a jam
yeah,
before the show. And it was cool, you know, some of the older guys that we like to hang out with as it is, you know, and then we got to pick you yeah. know, for a while before the show. So, yeah, I wouldn't say it's a huge, I mean, maybe a handful of other musicians that do old time. And
I think you hit the nail on the head with that, you know, few but quality. And I think that's the difference between West Virginia and Kentucky to a point. And a lot of the other states. I don't know much about Tennessee to talk about. But no, I don't know much about Tennessee. I've enjoyed the people I've played with here, but I think there's places like Portland and Asheville is one, and I've never been to Portland, Maine, but where there's a whole lot of people playing, and there are a lot of good players within those people, but it's turned into more of a scene. And in West Virginia, there's never been, in the years that I've been into it, any sort of a scene. There's just been some people that play music. And it's never been any... We don't agree on everything, and we don't all vote the same way. And we don't, you know... And I don't know that they do, but it's just, it seems like it's more of an individual thing in West Virginia. And I think it's kind of, to me, I equate it to kind of what we were talking about punk. Last night, I know that conversation probably isn't on this tape, but...
or is it?
I just think that there was a time, growing up in West Virginia for myself, I didn't get to do any of that scene stuff. I never got to go, like, be a part of a scene that was punk rock. And so to me, it was always like a really personal expression of... But kind of like, I think the Minutemen kind of tapped into it, and a lot of people were just saying, you know, we like a lot of different things that make us, you know, who we are. And that turned into kind of a... It got the word punk attached to it.
Yeah.
And I think that that has happened and continues to happen in West Virginia. Those guys are all just kind of into things and do their own thing. And I don't know if you want to expound on that, but I feel like there is today a new revival that may or may not have anything to do with what we're interested in.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't know that it doesn't, and I don't know. And yeah. a lot of it does.
It's been my experience that I know a lot of old punk guys who were punk guys for a long time, and a lot of them are playing old-time music now, playing bluegrass and doing other stuff. And I have, for a long time, been trying to work out some sort of convoluted theory on why that is and how it happens.
Well,
have an answer for it.
It's not very different, because, I mean, like, it's still the same kind of, it's a community
right.
kind of thing, and, like, this, you know, everyone's in this together, and, like, it's
right.
it's a...
Yeah.
And that was what really got me with old-time music, was when I started going to some festivals, and it was just, I was invited in with open arms, you know, everywhere,
yeah.
you know, and that just really struck a chord with me, and that's been a huge thing in my mind as far as the old-time music goes.
I kind of opened it up. I worked at Smithsonian up in D.C. for a while, and going back and forth on the train, I read a lot of the early hardcore books. I read, like, Dance of Days and stuff, and I noticed that one of the big things that they always talked about was participation. Everybody that was at any of those shows, it was in a band, had a zine, you know, being in the audience was a form of performance almost, or participation.
Right, and those people were all participating in other ways too. I mean, they were promoting in a DIY
right.
way that had mm-hmm. never been done before at that time.
And I think that's what old time music, you know, was, because I think that's kind of what life was. You know, the first time around, it was just about getting people together in a room. You know, one fiddler would play a dance and everybody would participate, and it wasn't really as much of a performance as a communion. And I think that that's what is I really like about, you know, the more old-time side of our playing, because when we play dances and stuff, you know, people listen to us, but it's not a show, per se. It's people are participating or actively. And I think that's what was so cool about having that jam before that show, is it just really opened the audience up to, you know, it was a percentage of the audience that was participating then immediately, but then kids were dancing, and, like, and it just, it's a different kind of show when people participate.
Yeah.
I think we were talking about that last night,
yes,
too.
Yes, which you very rarely get in Nashville.
Right. And that's a shame, because I think it could be more fun for everybody when this kind of is like,
you
all
get
right.
it in Nashville, but you get it on people's porches and in their backyards in Nashville.
Yeah.
You don't get
yeah.
it in venues.
It's a show.
Yeah. Like, I think we're more relaxed and calmed down in our playing for the two of you that are giving back than we would be playing in front of 100 people that clapped after every team.
Right.
Or didn't, you know?
Yeah.
So, do y'all have plans to record another album at this point?
We actually have
three
releases. We're really slow, but we have three releases coming out within the next half a year. So, we have an album of traditionals that we recorded most of last year.
Yeah.
Last winter, I guess. And that'll be coming out this month, January. We just got done in November recording a new full length of all original songs. That still has yet to be mixed and artworked and everything. That'll probably be out hopefully in the beginning of summer. And we also have a 4-song 7-inch that our buddy Dave up in Brooklyn is helping us put out. That should be out in the spring. So yeah,
he was hoping for a Valentine's Day release date on that.
Ooh.
But it's a little questionable. But that last song that Ben just played is going to be on that.
No one wants that as a Valentine's Day.
That's a great Valentine's
Day. Sure we do.
But this way you have an album for almost every season.
Yeah.
Right. Man, we should start thinking like that.
Seasons of the Heart.
Seasonal.
We should have an album come out on Black Friday.
Fox hunting never goes out of season.
There you go.
So here's one called Train on the Island that I guess I learned from the playing of Harvey Sampson.
Train on
you have three releases coming out, and you have at least one previous?
We released Nowhere Bound, it's been almost 2 years ago now. We've really been dragging ass.
Yeah, we wouldn't know anything about that over here. People can get it online?
Yep, iTunes, CD Baby, we have a website, foxhunt.net, you can get it there. MySpace, myspace.com/LeFoxHunt, L-E Foxhunt, because the was taken by...
some French.
Anything else you want to tell people?
Hi, Mom. That's it.
Your mom listened to a lot of the podcasts.
I'm sure my mom is going to be real on top of it.
Now, do you have anything on your mind about, science or...
Or the relationship that they have.
That they have?
No, I actually got all of that out last night.
Yes. We did get that on tape, but we won't be sharing it with anyone.
Yes, please don't share it with yourselves.
We will, however, hold it over your heads.
Dang it.
Oh, also...
You won't have to hold it too awful high on me.
Also, if you have a vehicle and you start hearing weird noises coming from your brakes... You should get them fixed right away, because $800 is a lot of money.
Yes, they are here with us today because they were stranded while their car was in the shop, so.
Well, and, because you guys are here, not just because of
And because they have Pee-wee's Playhouse on DVD.
And because we were too damn hungover to go anywhere.
So you guys touring a lot this year?
Hopefully. I don't know, we don't have a whole lot scheduled for the spring yet, but probably this summer we'll be getting around a whole lot.
So we can send folks out to see you and you can recoup the Nashville break job.
Hire us. We should play wedding parties.
I believe we're doing a...
parties.
I think we're doing a national tour with a couple of groups in April.
Oh, really? Yeah?
Still not sure what the official lineup of that will be, but...
I was going to ask,
keep everybody posted.
How extensively you tour? Like, do you generally just tour around the Southeast, or do you make it out to the West Coast occasionally?
Our first trip out that way, we just took in August of this past year. Went up to the Northwest and played down through the...
God's country?
Yeah. Played down through the West and the Midwest and everything. And that was great, so... We're definitely gonna be doing more of that.
I'm a big fan of Idaho. The more we get to Idaho, the happier I'll be.
It's really pretty in Idaho.
It's awesome.
It's beautiful.
It's like West Virginia big, like West Virginia Mario level, whatever.
But normally now we are in usually the Southeast, or we go up to New York with some frequency. Mm-hmm. But yeah, mostly it's all from like Pennsylvania down to Tennessee is the usual, through Virginia, Kentucky, West Virginia. Hopefully get out to Ohio here soon with the Magpies.
Yeah.
Now, was last night the first time, or the night in Louisville
the
first time?
The last two nights, yeah. Mm-hmm. In Louisville was the first time we played with them, and we liked them so much that we graced them with our presence last night.
I thought it was the lure of us.
Yeah, we graced you with our presence.
Glad you got a chance.
You're welcome.
Well, do you guys want to play one last song to send everybody out with?
Sure.
To play by myself before this band came to fruition. I played in a bar in Martinsburg Thursday just for free drinks and $50.
Nice.
And
haven't made that sense.
It sounds better and better all the time. And the more I say that, it's just like, oh man, what am I doing? No. And so, that was, my goal with it was to start a rock band, I was playing Tuesday's Gone by Lynyrd Skynyrd when I wrote the little lick for it, which is now changed to a fiddle lick.
Outed yourself.
What's that?
You just outed yourself.
Yeah, I totally ripped it off.
Sorry, Skynyrd.
They're not listening to this.
Apologies to Ronnie. But yeah, and at the end of every night, every Thursday when I was playing there, there might be 5 people, maybe 10 on a really good night if some of my friends would come out. All my friends would come out. there's just a couple of regulars.
Brings up to 6.
Yeah, as soon as I was done, no one really had any enthusiasm while I was playing or anything. Occasionally, I'd play a Skynyrd song, and they'd be, and that would be it. But as soon as I was done, this guy would always go over to the jukebox and put on David Allan Coe. You never even call me by my name, and then whoever was in there would just be like, oh yeah, and all of a sudden they were back to life. I don't know what that says about me, but
think it's pretty clear.
That's what this song is pretty much about. And this one guy, like, I guess Jaeger Bombs had just gotten really popular, and he bought a round of Jaeger Bombs one night, and that's what the second verse is about.
Pistachios in there.
Oh yeah, it's all these hot dog nuts.
Nuts.
That sounds really bad.
And there is absolutely no context.
Yeah. Nobody needs inside to know. Jokes all around.
Well, we're really glad you guys came out.
Yeah, but thanks for having us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thanks a lot.
Been a good time.
Welcome back anytime. Everybody out there, invite them to come stay with you. Just make sure you have, you know, pistachios before they get there.
And no dice.
They'll give you, no dice sliding. If you get dice, their shirts.
It's no dice.
Well, thank you guys.
Yeah. This is great. Nice. This is Daisy.
And we'll see you next time.
This is the Fox Hunt.
They're still here. They're not going anywhere.